The freezing's here, and I don't know about you, but I've been freezing. Last night I had this on. I had it zipped up. I had this thing tied up. I had the covers right over my head. I was praying for heavenly heat. I thought about bringing my long underwear, but I thought, it's July. It should be all right, you know. My wife and I, we didn't have much money when we started the church in Steinbach. I was too proud to ask for support, you know, and we spent about 6 weeks, and I think we had $700 a month support, and we went and started, and we wanted to take a vacation and go to Banff and the beautiful mountains. How many have ever been up there? You ought to go see that. That's the beautiful things that God has made for us. And we had puppies. How many of you like dogs? Well, we had 30 dogs. And we did something today that's very sinful. We had a puppy mill. You're supposed to gasp, you know, in shock. You know, you used to be able to go to a mall and they had puppies for sale. How many of you remember that? Yeah, well, I was the supplier. I mean, we shipped them to Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Thunder Bay, you know, all over. Toronto, and I had a little white poodle, and he was a breeding machine, that little guy, and I got all kinds of animals. I got terriers, you got terry poos and cocker spaniels, and you got cockapoos, and so anyway, we wanted to go vacation. They wanted some of our puppies. They were cute little puppies, and they were paying me to fly them, you know, and I said, well, would you pay me the airline fee if I just drove them out to you? And I said, oh, yeah, we would be glad to do that. And I believe it was Calgary. No, it wasn't. So we had these banana boxes, you know, banana boxes about this big. But I like to pack in them because they're strong, you know, you can stack like 7 or 8 high, you know, and had these, and had papers down. I think we had 6 puppies in each box, you know. And I had them lined up, you know, and then I had a stack of them. We had 18 puppies, and I'm used to stopping. I had, you know, 3 girls and a wife, you know, and they got to use the restroom, but we had the boys. We were taking care of the puppies, you know. We let them out and change the papers. And anyway, when we got to Calgary, they gave us the money for the puppies. We didn't get much back in those days. They sold them for twice or more than that and what we got. But anyway, we headed up to Banff, and like I said, we didn't have a lot of money, so we were going to tent. And I can't remember, but I think it was in June. But when we got up there, you know, and found our tenting place, there was snow piled up like 10 foot high, you know. And that should have been a signal. But my wife and I had these sleeping bags that you zip together. And I was sure glad we had them because we hugged each other all night to try to stay warm. I mean, we about froze to death. And I'm always been cold blood. If you shake hands with me, don't say to me, your hands are cold. I know, I've been told that thousands of times, you know. My hands are always cold and my feet. So I wore this. I wasn't planning on wearing this, but I'm praying that God will give us some heavenly heat to come across, you know, the pulpit this morning and warm us up. And I'm hoping to get warmed up and shed this thing in a minute. But I do appreciate the vision to have a camp. I appreciate you coming. You know, God's promised to draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And to be honest with you, I'd rather just sit down and let the evangelist preach, you know. I think, well, God, I just don't have anything to offer anymore. It's funny, when you're young, you know everything. When you get older, you don't know anything, you know. It's just forgot everything, you know. But I'm just praying that God will say something to us and change us. I'm good to see these young fellas right here at the front. That's a blessing. And I'm just trying to get started. I got to warm up. So I'm waiting for the Lord to give me a message. You know, I've always been afraid that I would show up and not have my message. Do you ever be that way? Any of you pastors? Yeah. Well, one Sunday it happened. I showed up, and I opened up my Bible, and there was no message. I left it on the desk at home. And I thought, well, I'm not going to tell the people, you know, I didn't. They're going to find out probably anyway. But, you know, it was amazing how that God just brought things to mind and helped me, and the people never knew. I think we had a better service, you know. We get in a habit, and we get tied to things, don't we? But how many working in the cafeteria and helping with that? God bless you. That was wonderful. That was good. I enjoyed that bacon and eggs and pancakes. I even got a yogurt. I saved it for a little later, you know. But that was good. And thank you for the accommodations and for the fruit basket and your love and kindness. God is good, isn't he? And the fact that you're here this morning. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 11. Psalm chapter 11. This is a psalm of the man of God, David, the man after God's own heart. And a few weeks ago when I was reading through the Psalms, I encourage you to read through the Psalms. You know, if you read 5 chapters a day, you can go through the Psalms every month. 5 times 3, that makes 150, doesn't it? Got to add a zero there, but you know what I'm saying. If you read 5 chapters a day in 30 days, you get through it a month. And the Psalms is a wonderful one. When I was young, I didn't figure out, you know, like, it seems like when you read the Psalms, it's people have a lot of problems. Did you ever notice that? But if you live a little longer, you're going to have some problems too. life is a few days and full of trouble, Job said. I hope this thing doesn't electrocute me. I was a little afraid when he was putting that on me. But it is nice you don't even see it. You can't even see it. I'm glad for Brother Took here. I'm not very good at electricity. There's been a few times I've put my screwdriver in that electrical box and blew the end right off, and that's not a good thing. That's why I've lost all my hair. How many of you remember Brother Booth? Well, Brother Booth was our deacon, and his wife Cheryl, she was our principal of our school, and she died of cancer. But Brother Booth and I were sitting on the front row, and somebody took a picture from us from the back, and I right away said, well, that's Brother Booth. I said, who's that other guy? And they said, well, that's you. I said, well, I never see myself from the back. I didn't know I was that bald, but oh, boy. Well, let's look at Psalms 11. I believe there's some things that God has for us here. As I was reading through a few weeks ago, God spoke to me from this passage. And it's a lot about the days that we're living in. I don't know, you young people haven't lived long enough to know, but our world is in a downward spiral. It's going down fast. And I grew up in the United Methodist Church. United Methodist Church joined with the United Church of Canada in 1934, I believe, if my memory's right. And so it's a liberal church. You know, when I went to Yorkton, Saskatchewan, and how many of you have been to Saskatchewan? You know, it's so flat there in that country, you can see your dog run away for 3 days, and so you don't lose him. And the fields are just massive. And we had a thermometer outside, and it went down to 40 below. And I thought, well, sure that would cover it, you know. Well, we had 44 below, 47 below. I mean, when that real round ball and nothing, no mercury comes up out of it, you know it's cold. And we had a lot of cold weather there. But anyway, back to the Word of God. Okay, Psalm, I think I'm ready now. Psalm 11, in the Lord I put my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as the bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow and make ready their arrow upon the string, and they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. Thank God for that. Amen. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares. I want you to notice that, young people. You'll find this to be true. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares and fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. And this shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous, Lord, loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Would you pray with me? Lord, speak to my heart. Help us to get something from your word. We pray that you would do something in a special way. Bless Brother Tozer, Lord, as he comes to preach. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I told you the world was in a downward spiral, and I started telling you about the United Methodist Church that I grew up in. Well, in the 70s, if you were one of these LPTWs or whatever those letters all are, I can't get them all right, but or if you were, you know, homeless, you couldn't be a member. No, you weren't allowed to be a member. But in the 90s, somewhere in there, they changed it that you could be a member. Well, now you can be the pastor or the sister of the church. That's how the world has gone down. You know, when I was young, that was a long time ago, back in the dark ages when nobody had any fun, and people were heathen, didn't even mow their grass on Sunday because they didn't want everybody to know that they were heathen. And there wasn't stores open on Sunday. People went to church. And back then, there was a reverence or at least a respect of some kind for God in the Bible. But that's all changed. We live in London, Ontario for a number of years in my son's basement. And we made it into a 1,000-square-foot, two-bedroom apartment. Nice, made it real nice down there. We were gone a lot of times, you know, preaching. When we were home, when we would go to church, I remember that sign Jesus says. What's the name of that church again, honey? Forest City. Thank you. My wife helps me with my messages and so. Anyway, on the way there, every Sunday, on the north side of the road, there was this huge sports complex. There would be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people sitting on aluminum benches. I don't care if it was snowing, raining, blowing, they'd be sitting there, and hundreds of children, they would be out there Sunday morning. You know why they didn't have sports on Sunday back when I was a kid? Because the parents wouldn't let their kids play sports on Sunday. They went to church. The church is in a downward spiral. I've been told there will be 4,000 or so churches that will close this year. Now, David, who is a man after God's heart, that lived for God, said there was arrows being shot at him. And if you take a stand for the Lord, I went to the public school. I carried my Bible on top of my books. I tried to be a testimony in the Christian athletes, and I got a lot made fun of, a lot, you know. But you know, that's good for you. It gets you down on your knees, you know. It helps you to search out in the Bible and to know what you stand, what your stand is, what you believe. Now, I was thinking about what David said. If the righteous, you know, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? This is a question being asked. Would you say it with me? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, a lot of you young people don't know much about foundations. If you look up, you say, well, this steel is what's holding the building up. And I think you call them purlins. You got their five, you know, 2x12s nailed together. That's what's holding them. But what's holding the steel up? You know, if you come over here, you'll see there's some cement here. Do you see that? And the steel is sitting right here on the cement. And that's not all the cement there is. That goes down. I think code's, what is it? You builders, 48 inches or whatever in Michigan. You got to get down below the frost line. And that cement and that steel is what's holding up the building. Now, the Bible says if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? How many of you ever lived in a house or seen a house that had bad foundations? Well, we live in one. It's a 19, built in 1915, and when you go down and then you go up, you know, the floors, you know, they have, and the doorways, you know, they shift, and you get these big cracks going. And so what causes that? You don't have a good foundation. You know, young people, Jesus knew something about building. He said there in Matthew 7, the greatest sermon ever preached, and I say, how does it go? The wise man build his house upon the sand. Is that right? You got to help me. The wise man build his house upon the rock. Jesus is the rock. When God said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know what the foundation of society is? It's a belief in God. The foundation of society is the belief of God's word. This is God's holy word. In the beginning, God created. He created the earth. And he put it out there and hung it on nothing and told it to stay there. And it did. Atlas isn't holding it up. Those turtles aren't holding it up. God's word is holding it up. You know, it's God's word that's holding you all together. By him, all things consist. As we think about the foundations of society, the foundation of society has been the Bible, the Ten Commandments, God's holy word, a belief in God, marriage, honesty, love, respect. These are all things that are the foundations of society. But things have changed. My grandpa was from Sweden. I'm Swedish. That's why I'm bald. Both of my grandpas were bald, so I don't have any hope, you know. But anyway, the wind gets blowing, and these two long hairs flop over this way. You know, it'll be bad. My wife's got some of that cream or stuff. It gets hard. You try to hold it down. But anyway, my grandpa, he couldn't say the TH sound. So he'd always say, tings. Tings have changed. And if you had a thunderstorm at night, he'd say in the morning, did you hear that thunder? But let me tell you something, things have changed. You know, when I went to school, I never heard of somebody going into school and shooting everybody. You know, I mean, you say, well, who's behind that? The devil. The devil. What causes our society to be in a downward foundation? It's the rejection of God. The rejection of God's word. People say, well, why is there so much trouble today? Well, because of atheism. And because of evolution. And communism. And humanism. And Marxism. And Marxism and a lot of the breakdown of the home. It's hard to find just a man and a woman and their family together, you know. Wicked living. The wickedness in schools and colleges and kicked out God or rock music, Hollywood, false gods, immorality, the devil, TV, internet, and on you could go. So I'd like you to turn to a verse. Isaiah. Isaiah is the largest book in the Bible. It's a tremendous book, 66 chapters. I know Psalms has 150, but it's actually five books. Look at Isaiah 28. Let's look at a couple verses here about foundation as we get into the message. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 28 and in verse number 16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. I want you to know that. We're built upon a sure foundation. And God is not only all-powerful, but he's a cornerstone. You know, the cornerstone, the corner of a building, even in a block building, that's the strongest part. The walls without the weight on it, you can push in the center, but not the corner. God is not only all-powerful, but the cornerstone Dad would lay at the Methodist church there in Byron. Dad built the addition on there, and there's a cornerstone, and it's a polished, beautiful stone, and it has the year that he built it. I think it says 1956, but I might be wrong. But anyway, Jesus is not only all-powerful, but he's the altogether lovely one. He's the lover of your soul. He wants you to have joy and happiness and peace. He wants to bless us. But the world and the devil is telling us a lie. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We have some other thoughts here about God wants us to be part of his building, that we're laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is... Who is it? What is it? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation that everything revolves on. God's power. I like, we won't have to turn to all these, but Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. There's been a lot of troubled times in history. Think about the times of Noah. I've never seen, you know, we don't even know who our president is. I mean, let's think about it. When we came to Canada, President Reagan was the president. When we went back, Obama, a Muslim. Now, I love Muslims. You know what their problem is? They need Jesus. They need to be saved. They need to be freed from that hatred and bitterness and put their faith and trust in Christ. They need the Lord. But I'm just looking at what's happened in society. As time is going on, the world isn't getting better and better. No, it's getting worse. And that's why churches are closing, because the church is not looked up to as important anymore. So let's go back to our text again, and we'll make a number of references there. Back in Psalm 11, David, who did right, who killed Goliath, who fought the enemy, who was the man after God's own heart, was being shot at by the wicked. And he asked a question, and I want to see if we can answer that question quickly. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, Brother Tozer quoted that verse last night. I was afraid he might preach all my message, but he didn't take it all, thank God. But how many know that verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14? So what can we do? Well, let's say it together. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek God's face, turn from their wicked ways, then will we hear from heaven. God will forgive our sins. God will heal our land. You know, there is something we can do. We can rebuild the foundations by praying for revival and having God rebuild. You know, salvation is not going to come from Ottawa. It's not going to come from Washington. Salvation is going to come from God. As God's people seek his face, pray, turn from their wicked ways, then we can hear from him. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, we can train our children to live for God. We can train our children to serve God. We can use our children to rebuild the foundation. You know that verse in Proverbs 22, in verse number 5, it says, train up a child the way he should go. Training our children. That doesn't say talk. You know, I don't want to offend you, But there's a lot more talk. We need action. I was roofing a house. I've done a lot of roofing. That's a terrible job. I don't know how I ever got into it. My dad started me roofing when I was a kid. And one day I was roofing a house, and we roofed a lot of houses to pay the boys' college or the girls. But I was roofing this house, and two little boys were playing in the backyard, and his mother come out the door. She was over this way, and she yelled for, "Johnny, come home, shepherd time," or something. I don't, can't remember what it was, but she called him. He didn't. He never budged a bit, you know. A few minutes later, she come out. "Johnny, I told you to come out," she yelled and hollered, you know. The kid just keep playing, you know. A few minutes later, when you're up on a roof, you can hear. I don't know what it is. You can hear from a long ways away. But she come out the back door. I didn't need my hearing aid in. She come out this last time, and she said, "If you don't come home, I'm going to kill you." The little boy looked at his friend. He says, "I've got to go now." You know, the boy has been trained, and he knows he doesn't have to obey until mom loses her testimony and everything else. And then he, "Oh, I've got to go now." You know, you can train your children to come the first time and speak kindly and nice to them. You know, my son Mark had this little dog. It was a miniature pincher. You remember the name of that dog?
Speedy.
Oh, yeah, Speedy. Little Speedy. Well, Little Speedy, he was the nicest dog in the world in the house. But if you let him outside, he was gone. And I'm telling you, that dog might be that high, but he can outrun you and turn you. There's no way you can catch him. I don't know how many hours we are going up, you know, different roads and calling, "Speedy, Speedy," we see him, poof, he'd be gone, you know. And so my son says, "Well, I'm gonna get one of these shock collars." We took him to the park, and Mark put that shock collar on him. And put him down on the ground, and he just took off, you know, like lightning. And my son kind of had that smile on. He gives a little warning. There's a little warning. And, yeah, I think he did call him. He just kept going. Gave a little warning. And then he hit that shot button. And when he did, that dog stopped. He turned around. He ran right back to the owner. Now, I'm thinking of developing one for children. I mean, now you think about it. As a Christian, if God had one of them on us, we'd be better Christians. You know, the first time you just thought or struck, boom, "Oh, yes, Lord!" And remind us. But if the foundations be destroyed, what can we do? Rear our children to live for God. I thank God that you're part of a church that believes in preaching the word. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 says, "The preaching of the cross, then they perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it's the what? We need God's power if we're going to build. We need God's power if we're going to swim upstream. We need God's power if we're going to go against the grain, because we're weak and we need God's help. Be part of a Bible-preaching church. We need God to help us to overcome wickedness. How can we rebuild the foundations? By loving God's word and teaching God's word. You know, before our children could even talk, we'd say to them, "We're having family altar," and they'd get the Bible, and they'd come carrying their Bible. They knew. You know, when our children got up and came down, what was Dad doing? I was reading God's word. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall young men cleanse this way? By taking heed." Take heed to God's word. Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every..." Aren't you glad we have the King James Bible? You know, the NIV has got 16 verses taken out, and I think it's 1,100 or 1,400 where they've changed and dropped words, you know. Every word! 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes desire the sin-sealed milk." We've got some people in our church who've been giving us goat milk. We love that goat milk. When we were in York, Saskatchewan, we had a fella, and he had And he had a great big dog, and it was a Doberman Pinscher, or was it a Rottweiler? I don't know, it was a huge dog. No, it wasn't a German Shepherd. But I know his name. You know what the name of the dog was? Preacher. And this man didn't like preachers. I think that's why I named the dog. But he would sell us goat milk, you know. But I don't know what the milk has to do with. Oh, yeah. Sincere milk of the Word. The Word of God. The meat that we need. How can we, as Christians, help in rebuilding the foundation? John chapter 15 and verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you to go and do what? Bring forth fruit. You know, you need a sowing partner? Take your children with you. I led a lot of people to Christ in front of my kids, seeing people saved, seeing God work. You know, there's nothing more exciting than seeing people trust Christ as Savior. Just recently I've had two men that we were able to lead to Christ and got baptized. And it's exciting to see people turn. Now, just think if Lot would have been a soul winner. Huh? Yeah. There had just been 10 righteous. Listen, I've been to Israel 8 times. And some of you, we went to Israel together. How many went to Israel? Yeah. I don't know if it was on that trip or not. I can't remember. But, you know, if you go down where Sodom and Gomorrah is, south of the Dead Sea, the guide will say, you know what this is? No, what is it? This is brimstone. This is when God rained fire down. Fire and brimstone. It's still there. That's what God thinks. You know, young people, how do you know that this homosexual lesbianism and all this is wrong? Well, the first promise God gave to man in Genesis 1:28 says, be fruitful and multiply. Now, let's give you a little sex education. Two men cannot have a baby. Two women can't have a baby. God wants us to be fruitful. We had 3 children. We thought that was a nice family. And then we said, man alive, we got 4. No, 4 no more. Now I said, man alive, we got 5. Yeah, that's right. Wow. So we multiply. I think we'd have had some more if the wife was having a hard time. She wanted me to have the next few, you know, and so we didn't have any more. But listen, the Bible wants us to reproduce. Everything's made to reproduce. If you get seedless watermelon, it's not as good as melons that have seeds in it, because you can spit those seeds. You know, that's a lot of fun. But anyway. I want you to think about it. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, they can disciple those that are saved. We need a discipleship program to get people grounded in the Word. People go to church for years and years, but they've never been discipled. Jesus spent time with the disciples. It's more than just being saved. He said, I want to be a disciple for the Lord. What can we do as a church? The foundations be destroyed. What can the righteous do? Disciple. Support colleges, Christian colleges. And be an encourager. When we prayed for our children before they were ever born and said, Lord, we're going to give them to you. And they'll not spend one day in the public school or a public college. And we're going to teach them to go to a Bible school. Our son Mark was in Bible school for a year there in Ajax, and he called and said, Dad, you know, I'm not called to be a preacher. And he says, you know, don't you think I need to go prepare for something? I finished a year of school. I says, well, what does God, you know, want you to prepare for? He says, well, I don't know. And I said, well, if you don't know, you better just stay right where you're at. Well, that summer, Brother Baker asked him to go on the singing group, you know, and they were singing and ministered. You know, young people, one thing great about camp, I got saved in camp in Romeo, Michigan in 1970. Simpson Park, a Methodist camp. They brought an evangelist in because, you know, the ministers were so dead and dry, you know. They brought an evangelist in. He had a little fire, man. He preached on hell, fire, and brimstone. Man, I knew I was going to hell. And I only went to camp because there's a lot of pretty girls, and I was a teenager, you know, and for the sports. And I didn't go for the right reason, but you know, I might not be here for the right reason, but if you give God the opportunity, he'll speak to your heart. My son calls his dad, I think God's calling me to ministry. Praise God. And now I'm getting calls. Papa, yeah, I believe God's calling me to the ministry. Hallelujah. My granddaughter's all, I believe God's calling me to be a missionary. Praise God. And so we've got to train our children and be part of a church that preaches the Bible and that wins the lost and that the disciples. You know, if David had arrows shooting at him, don't you think we better put on the whole armor of God, as Ephesians says? And what's the most important? He said, lifting up that shield of faith and believing and trusting in God. As we think, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, we better start churches. I'll tell you quick about Ernesto. Ernesto is a Spanish minister under my son's church for, I think, 4 years. He went back to a hometown in Bolivia where he grew up. It's up in the mountains. And they'd never been a Baptist church there. And he rented from the mayor. And, you know, God, he began to win souls. And before the church ever started, he had 30-some people. And my son went down there with, I think, 14. They passed out tracts. And the first Sunday, I believe, I can't remember the numbers. I'm going to mix it up. I believe they had 200 and something the first Sunday. They had a medical group come from Pensacola, went down there, and they had 250 something. And the opening Sunday, I think they had 8 baptized and a number saved. And I mean, if we're going to rebuild the foundation, we got to have churches where people can go to hear the gospel and to learn the word of God and to grow as a disciple. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, God has a pretty good plan, doesn't he? He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We better be sending out missionaries. Missionaries are coming back off the field. My brother's boy, Eric Bowman, is a missionary over Africa. And you know, missionaries are getting old like me, you know, and time to retire. There's no young ones to come in. We need young people to say, I'm willing to serve the Lord as a missionary. Now go back to Psalm 11 and I'm done. I want you to notice, what is the foundation of God? Did you ever think about that? So what's the foundation of God? Well, it tells us right here in verse 4, for the Lord is in his holy temple. The outstanding characteristic is holiness. You know, that'd be a goal. Say, I just want to live holy for God. I want to live a holy life. And notice in verse 3, what can the righteous do? Notice the Bible says in verse 7, the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. God, now I know in and of ourselves we can't be righteous or holy, but thank God for the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from sin. And we can have imputed righteousness to our account because of the Lord. But by the Holy Spirit's power, we can sin less. I'm not saying we can be sinless, but God can help us to have victory. We don't have to sin. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord, we've rambled a little bit and didn't do as good as we wanted to for you, Lord. But we pray that someone realize that the foundations are destroyed, that this old world is going down, and the only hope is for people like the people that are in this room that are seeking you. And you promise, Lord, if we draw nigh to God, that you draw nigh to us. You promise for two or three are gathered together that there you'd be in the midst. And we pray right now that you'd speak to hearts. Help us to want to be a disciple. Help us to want to be somebody that loves you and your word and turns from the lies of the devil and this old world. And we pray that you'd bless each pastor that's represented here, and each person that would say, Lord, I want to help rebuild this old world with your power, with faith in you, with your word, and to live a holy life as a peculiar people, we pray. In Jesus' name, I'm going to turn it over to you, brother.